That's it. Game over. The Houston Texans blow out the Dallas Cowboys on the road, 34-10. They snap their two-game slide and build their record to 7-4 with the Titans at NRG Stadium up next.
Speaking of people who needed it, I think Vandy and Andre needed it.
Didn't they, though?
Robert Hensley, he needed it. Aaron, they need all of them up there. They needed that.
Hey, I needed it.
Every week, though.
Yeah, good, big win. Exactly what Houston, the Texans, everybody associated with the Texans organization needed. They got a big, big dub last night. All right, Clint, I think a big point of the game, we heard D'Amico say it afterwards, we got to handle 88. And in the secondary, that was a big deal, right? I'll be honest with you, I did not have Cooper Rush throwing for more yards than C.J. Stroud on my bingo card, but obviously they threw it 50 times, so I mean that's a part of it. But what were your thoughts? In 713-572-416, those of you that are on the 5 Hour Energy fan line, 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610, and football fans, those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, what'd you think about the secondary? What were your thoughts about the secondary?
Well, look, I was obviously spot on with the Derek Stingley shadow game. This was
said, I asked you to travel with him.
I asked you to travel with him, and here's your game ball because you whooped that ass. This was a Derek Stingley shadow game any way you slice it. CeeDee Lamb was the only chance they had offensively. I totally forgot about Turpin, who went the distance on one play. That is an explosive little sucker. But, you know, CeeDee Lamb is obviously the straw that stirs the drink, if you will, in Houston. And Derek Stingley Jr., I didn't know if D'Amico would do it, but he clearly did. It was part of the plan, as he said in the postgame meeting with the team, that he asked Stingley to shadow CeeDee Lamb, and he did it, and he kept him from impacting the game damn near at all. The one time that he hit on a little longer throw, it was slid into Kadar Holman somehow. But yeah, I think the good of it is that Derek Stingley Jr., I don't know if I like this, or let me put it this way. I'm not real comfortable with this, but I think it's probably accurate at this point in time. Like, Derek Stingley Jr. has the mentality of a guy that's already won a few championships. He has the mentality
what
of
you
a
mean
guy.
By that?
Well, just like, hey man, I'm just trying to get through the regular season. I'm just trying to get to the games that matter. And when coach looks at me and says, hey, this one matters, I need you to step up and do big things and take a guy out of the box score, essentially, then I think that's when Derek Stingley puts his best foot forward, and that's when Derek Stingley turns that thing on. I mean, there is a real, like with Derek Stingley Jr., there is a...
That was a different guy than we saw all year.
It's a quiet, passive dude that's just like, I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be when I'm supposed to be there. But boy, when D'Amico says I need you to lock this dude up, it's like Derek Stingley puts his championship caliber mindset to task here. And I thought he was tremendous. I thought there was times when he was running routes for CeeDee Lamb. There's times where he is in his hip pocket and tackling him short of the sticks. There's times when he decided to play soft and the errant throw just hits him right in the chest. And so Derek Stingley Jr., again, I'm not real comfortable with it because I think throughout the year, Stingley is almost disinterested at times. But boy, when it's crunch time and when it's go time and when it matters and when D'Amico says I need you, he's as good as anybody out there right now. And last night was a perfect example of that.
Yeah, I would say from Derek Stingley, that for me personally, now many others may disagree or whatever. That, to me personally, that was the best. That was the Derek Stingley that we saw at the end of last year.
Yeah.
The one that won Defensive Player of the Month to end the season. The one that many people thought he was going to come in. Like, Pro Football Focus has had him ranked, like, the 21st best corner in the league, you know, throughout these first 10 weeks or whatever. Yesterday, he looked like what many people thought could be a top three corner in this league. That was Patrick Surtain level. That was Trent McDuffie level. That was the top corners in the league level. They just couldn't do nothing. I mean, when you force a PI, an offensive pass interference in the end zone, when you pull that off, like you do it, like they couldn't handle him. It didn't matter. Tolbert whatever. The play he made with CeeDee Lamb coming across the field and he took off immediately and ran him down and made that tackle. Because if he doesn't make that tackle, CeeDee gets that first down. That just showed how locked in and keyed in he was.
What he's capable of, right? I mean, like I guess my overall point is, like you said, would you say PFF had him ranked as the 21st best corner? I mean, that's about right. I mean, there's a level of just being passive and being okay with guys catching balls in front of you instead of being the get-in-your-face physical guy until he needs to get in your face and be that physical guy. So it's no surprise that that's where an advanced stat program would rank him. But man, last night was impressive. Now, on the bad side of things, when it comes to your cover defenders with the Texans, I think it's clear right now, Ron, you tell me if you agree or disagree, the third best cover defender on this team right now, legit, is Jalen Petrie. I mean, I know that's not what I would like this to be, but Jeff Okuda just gets shook out of his shoes on a slant route.
Can we give him another
route.
Shot? Can we see a little bit
know.
More?
I don't know. We sure. I mean, we can.
We got to give him a little bit more.
I don't think we have a choice.
It didn't bode well. They put him in the slot. He gave up the inside. I don't like. Maybe he was confused because clearly, 2-1 was behind him on the outside and not on the inside. And he just seemed to let and just gave him the inside
leverage.
Well,
I think he just got, he knew he was up against a guy that could run and got shook out of his damn boots immediately. I'm okay with getting shook out of your boots, but when you get shook so far out of your boots that you look like me when I had ran that long one against Denver and my ass blew up about the 5-yard line. I'm more worried about what Jeff Okuda looked like chasing him than I am the fact that he got shook out of his boots.
A turpin's quick.
I mean, yeah, he's real quick.
He didn't have a chance.
But you could look like a track athlete. When you're a corner, I need you to at least look like a track athlete chasing.
You look
like my ass was chasing.
You think Petrie would have had a better shot at that?
No, I don't. I think Petrie would have had a better shot of guarding from jump. Like, would have at least been competitive. Like, he got beat first step.
Okuda was looking like Mike Tyson in the 7th round.
He got beat all the steps.
I'm just going to tell you, Holman, Okuda. What was my man's name? Ross? I mean.
Get you some cardio in this week, bro.
Yeah, man. Lassiter, get your ass back. Get your ass healthy, man. Let's go.
Now, listen, Jeff did not look good on that play. And they tried him. They tried him in the slot. Like, they tried him where they want to, where they need help. And that one did not go well. Now, let's maybe see him.
I'm hoping to see some more, but I'm as we go along here, that was not pretty
impression,
right
there. Wasn't it? Wasn't it?